ancestors, to the elders, to the adults, to the children, to the unborn, whether you're with us this afternoon or amongst those who may hear this over Human Rights Radio, Zilango. It's a greeting we use to basically try to make everybody feel comfortable. It means come let us co-create something beautiful out of love and truth. And that's really what we've been trying to do at Human Rights Radio, though we didn't know it even back in the day when it was called WTRA. And I guess that's what we're here to talk about. I work at Human Rights Radio and what we feel it's about. If you read quite a few national magazines and so forth, you'll find that they refer to us as the founder of the micro radio movement. I got to be honest with you, never in our work did we ever discuss becoming a part of a micro radio movement. Never in our work did we discuss anything like that. From the very beginning, our efforts were toward addressing the wrongs that our people were enduring in this country. So back in the day, I guess November 87, summer of 87, when we were discussing the development of what's now grown to be Human Rights Radio, it wasn't with we had no intent of saying, hey, if we do this, we'll be the first ones in the country to do. Our intentions when we started up the station was simply to address the unfair situation that our people were being subjected to. And at the time, from the title of the station, you can tell we thought it was really like a landlord-tenant matter. WTRA stood for W Tenants Rights Association. We wasn't really trying to do anything, but we thought from the way we had been propagandized that within the confines of the system, there were steps one could take to address injustices. And if one would take those steps, then those injustices would be dealt with. Well, we went that way. We went. And I can remember going to, say, the criminal operation called the Springfield Housing Authority at the time, and I was asking them for a copy of their HUD manuals, the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, Rules of Life of Our People. They had these manuals that the Housing Authority had, and I remember getting them. And, man, each of them was about 4 inches thick, and I remember taking them to the house. And I remember just telling myself, all you need to do is learn what's in these books. And man, when you start running it down to them, everything gonna change. Well, we learned quite a bit what was in those books. And when we went to our first confrontation with the Housing Authority on the first thing that they informed us once they saw how aware we was of the contents of those books was that those books are outdated. We got some new ones now. That's devastating, man, when you take all that time to, get up on all these different information to find out that, well, it really forced us to question what we was doing then. And about the same time our Creator blessed us, so many times we can't even name them all, but around the same time we ran into a brother by the name of Sosei Akinkaji. And I got to say, by the Creator's permission, we've been blessed to have an opportunity to study with some of the best teachers around. One in this room, Brother Michael Townsend, and Brother Muhammad Salam out of Atlanta, Georgia, a Muslim. And we studied with Yahweh Ben Yahweh, the leading Hebrew in the country, for quite some time. We had an opportunity to sit at the feet of many folks that had knowledge to share with us. But at the time we just got kicked around by the housing, we were sitting at the feet of a brother by the name of Sosei Akinkaji. And I was letting him know how disappointed I was that I had did all that studying on them books, and then they told me that the books were irrelevant. And he was saying, well, brother, you ought to start thinking about rules that they can't change. Well, hell, I never knew nothing like that in my life, rules that they can't change. And he started talking to me about human rights. And at the time, I was like, wait a minute, what is human rights? And he said, these are the rights you're born with, brother. And I thought, oh, here we go again. They done finally got somebody that's going to try to take the militancy out of our work, get us to do some of this old pray all night kind of work. You know what I'm saying? And so we didn't really want to hear about human rights. But the more we tried to make ourselves aware of different things like the rules regarding voter registration. Yeah, that was one other thing we ran into. We was registering folks to vote because, we again thought in the beginning that within the confines of the system, we could address the injustices and they would be dealt with. So we registered, the group we was with called the Tenants' Rights Association, WTRA stood for, we registered more folks to vote probably than any organization of its kind in the city of Springfield. And what we thought, well, we're running here, we're doing our best to register folks, and once we come up with the idea, you know, they got them little voting things that they got to use when you do finally get to the polls that maybe some of our people are a little unsure about using. If we could get one of them and take to the homes when we register people, we could, like, get rid of some of the apprehensions in the people about voting. We looked in the rules of the voting thing, in the registering thing. There were no rules against it whatsoever. But when we brought it up to the election commission, you thought we'd grow the tail when we was talking to them. Man, they went off. No, we can't do it. Well, show us where it says you can't do it at then. And there was nothing that said they couldn't do it. But they chose not to allow us to do it. And oh, when we started up the radio station. Now, it's kind of clear. We looked at the situation and there was no rules about no radio station under 100 watts. There was no rules whatsoever about a radio station with less than 100 watts. So who in the world would get upset when someone would start one that's 0.4 watts? Not even a half of a watt. Those that write the rules got upset about it, of course. Well, you know, when you keep on trying to go by the rules and you notice that every time you get the rules down pat and you come to the arena to do battle that they change the rules, pretty soon, if you're intelligent, sooner or later, you got to say, wait a minute now. And more I try to deny it, the more it made sense, this human rights discussion, these rights that we be born with, the right to live, the right to grow, the right to be what one was created to be, the more those rights started to sound good to us. And we tried to follow what was happening with the political situation, and it came to our attention that every legislative session, the spring session, the criminal operation called the Illinois State Legislature, they passed 1,400 new laws. Went down the Capitol building one time and ran into the book of laws, thicker than you is tall. And ain't none of y'all in this room can stand up and tell us that you're a law-abiding citizen for certain, because you don't know what the laws are. And if you learned the ones from last year, they got 1,400 new ones for you this year. Boy, those human rights start sounding better and better. And when the FCC showed up in 1989 to tell us that we was breaking a law that they hadn't even wrote, boy, those human rights start sounding even better and better. But we stuck with WTRA until the visit of the FCC. And then it was clear that this system was a crooked system. You got to understand, we wasn't just dealing with the information that we had gathered in our efforts, but we had generations of evidence that this was not a good situation to be trying to do good up in. We had generations of evidence. It wasn't just our own, but when you throw in your own life experiences, I tell people that say, I got to go vote because I feel, I say, you better go ahead and do that. Because had somebody told me not to register folks to vote at the time my mind was set up like that, I'd have told them to go to hell. I'm going to get my rights, I would have told them. If somebody would have told me not to march on City Hall for some voting rights, I'd have told them to go to hell. I thought that was a solution because my mind had been prepared to think that way. You couldn't have stopped me if you wanted to. And that's why I won't try to stop you. All I can do is share with you the experiences that we had, and maybe in doing so, it might make you see the futility in it. They tell me that it takes $300,000 to get a seat in the legislature for the state of Illinois. Ain't never heard nobody talk about how many votes it takes. They said it takes $300,000. And I would conclude that those that would make the $300,000 available have bought themselves a mouthpiece. And those that didn't make the $300,000 available, oh, well. Yeah, you don't want to talk about human rights because I know at first I thought it was a weak thing. I thought it would, you know, But then I realized that the real question about our ability to deal with human rights was based on what value we placed on our right to exist. Yeah, folks would like to say, well, I ain't into that human rights thing because I think you full of shit, man. When in truth, you're not into the human rights thing because when you think about it, you haven't yet placed any value on yourself. And that was the challenge that I was given at the time Brother brung it to us about human rights. What value did we place on ourselves? None. Because we were begging for permission to do what we were born with a right to do. The difference between WTRA and Human Rights Radio is the difference between civil rights and human rights. It's the difference between hip-hop and rap. Begging and asserting your rights. It's that deep. But see, this whole question of how you will or if you will be able to deal with the question of human rights, it ain't got nothing to do. Well, I might be able to move you toward that if I'm blessed to find the right words and arrange them in the right way. But after that, it's still going to come down to what you think about yourself. When you look around the creation, it don't take long to realize that we're the only ones in the creation that's being charged to live. It don't take long to realize why that is. We're in a situation where the rights that one is born with is the last thing on the agenda. I can remember studying one of them Lincoln-Douglas debates. And Douglas was sweating Lincoln. He was on Lincoln about the fact, you know, what Lincoln was saying to Douglas, hey, man, what's up with slaves, you know, this here whole thing about these slaves and their rights. And Douglas said, look, what you're talking about is a question that was resolved when we wrote the Constitution. Human rights versus business rights. We resolved that when we wrote the Constitution. And that's what folks need to comprehend. The Constitution was not just a crime against African people, but the Constitution was a crime against humanity. Because it took and it said that it was legal to deny human rights. Now that is a crime beyond all crimes. If I wish to go out to this little pond out here and dump some whatever off into the pond, I'm sure the pond police would be on my case, wouldn't they? If I wanted to go out and dump something on the Ring Road out there, I'm sure the Ring Road police would be on my case, wouldn't they? If I wanted to pollute the yard or I wanted to mess over the bald eagle or something, or everyone recognizes the rights of these things to exist as they were created to exist. But everyone has a big problem with the right of people to exist as they were created to exist. I don't know if you get a chance to watch these nature shows on TV. And I'm one of those that know that you better check everything you check out on the media. But if they're half right on those nature shows about the way these different creatures are created and the abilities that they've been given, one has to stop and think about yourself then. What might you may have been made capable of? Let's see. I don't know, I was listening to some story and they said that physically there's like a 3% difference between people and, say, some members of other upright walking families. So we know that the difference between people and upright walking beings has got to be something that you can't measure just simply in the flesh. The United Nations, in the first article of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which they put together in 1948, our great creator spirit knew that if we had to talk to folks in this day, in this slave state about human rights, we better have some kind of evidence that somebody else is talking about it. So by our creator's permission, we bring your attention to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights put out by the United Nations. They put it together in 1948 as not a statement of their power to bestow upon folks rights, but as recognition that they know that folks is born with rights, human beings, they call them. And in Article 1, they set to define what a human being was. And they said all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and in rights. You pick up the Constitution, they say that I'm a three-fifths of a person. How in the hell could I even think of I have a right to some dignity when they write down in the rules of the road, if you will, that I'm three-fifths of a person? And they ain't took it out today. You can go look in there. There ain't no provisions to really eliminate the condition that brought my people here in the first place. I know, the 13th Amendment, read it. No person shall be held in slavery or servitude unless they have been duly convicted of a crime. Did you know it said that? Maybe that's got something to do why the prison population has gone up the way it has. And you can't get a decent salary at work no more. Competing against slave labor would make it difficult, wouldn't it? Would make it extremely difficult. All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and in rights, and they are endowed with, born with, they say, reason of mind and conscience. This is what separates us from all the other living creatures in the creation, this conscience. It's not something we can put in a cup, not something we can put down on a piece of paper, but it's in the way we conduct our relationships within the family of living beings. If I was to walk into this room and found that all of you had been ripped to shreds and blood was everywhere, it would be an intelligent question to ask, what kind of animal came through this place? Wouldn't that be an intelligent question to ask? Certain behavior is characteristic of animals. If a dog going down the street meowing, certainly we're going to have a teach-in on that, ain't we? We've already in our minds decided what a dog is supposed to do, and if a dog deviates, then we call into question if that is in fact the dog. If in fact the human being is born with a conscience, how the hell can one live up in this country without questioning everything going on? You think about the conditions of the people. The top 1% of the population having a greater net wealth than the bottom 95% of the population. Let me tell you what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about if you take everything everybody owns and you turn it into cash and you pay all their bills, the top 1% got more wealth than the bottom 95%, and they're going to tell me that hard work is going to get you paid. The bottom 90% ain't getting paid too good. The stock market is booming, but yet 10% own 90% of all of it. And 1% of that population owns 99% of that. They say you can't make no new money unless you got what? Old money. But for 11 generations, my folks was denied any return on their work. What kind of conscience does this country got? And I didn't say that that was an element in the human being. The UN said that that was the element in the human being. I hear folks say, it's a damn shame Bill Clinton is acting up. This country was so good before Bill Clinton. And I'd like to know when. What is your criteria for good? We review the data that's available today, as we did throughout our days at Human Rights Radio. And of course, we had to move from WTRA. We went to Zoom Black Magic, but then there were some folks that had another program that picked up that name we wasn't interested in no more. We went to Black Liberation Radio. I'm going to tell you something. I read the Emancipation Proclamation. It don't say black in there one time. I read the Fugitive Slave Law. It don't say black in there one time. Isn't that devastating? Do you know what that means? wasn't just a black thing on the side of a slaveholder or the slave. But we've all been purposely miseducated, you know? You read them. Find the word black in there any time. In either one of those documents. The Fugitive Slave Act wasn't just any kind of an act. It spoke about things like, say, if one of you knew that I was acting like I'm acting, and you didn't go tell, they could charge you $1,000. You think about if they charge you $1,000 in 1998, wouldn't that put you behind the eight ball? What about they charge you $1,000 in the 1830s, the 1850s? It'd just about do you up, wouldn't you? You'd about go tell on Jesus then, wouldn't you? It's sad that folks have been so miseducated that they could proclaim this to be a free country while slavery's going on. If you derived a living from what you call work, how much of what you actually had coming did you get when you knew you were competing against free slave labor? As we grew at the radio station, you notice the names grew. The names changed. We certainly could look and find big time data. In fact, they asked the military fellow that was in charge of that one of the many government invasions of other sovereign nations, Panama. They asked him, why did y'all attack? Y'all looking for Noriega, right? He said, yeah, we was looking for Noriega. Why'd y'all go to the low income black neighborhood in Panama City and attack them? They said, well, our objective was to take out those people that would keep shooting at us. Not the ones that were, but the ones that would keep shooting at us. You can find all kind of government documents that would show that the center of the government's surveillance, control, is in the low-income black community. But that ain't the only folks they mess with. 58% of all white men are going to get arrested sometime in their lifetime. Now, it's certain 90% of all black men are going to get arrested sometime in their lifetime, but who would have ever guessed it was 58% of all white men? When you start talking about the top 1% got more wealth than the bottom 90%, you're still talking about 95%. You're talking about a whole bunch of white folks, ain't you? Ain't you? You're talking about almost three times as many white folks living in poverty in this country as you're talking about black folks in this country. I thought it was a white thing. We thought it was a black thing when we went through the Black Liberation Radio thing. And certainly we thought when we turned to Black Liberation Radio, all the black middle class would be supportive of the work that we're doing. But we found that they used it as a cover to further perpetuate the crimes that they had carried out as black slave owners. You know there were black slave owners in this country? Black slave owners. Yep, own on the average of twice as many slaves as the white slave owners. Some would say, well, that's because there were so few, but who would have ever guessed there were one? Only one state made it illegal for blacks to own whites. That was Virginia. More than likely why the South chose it as its capital. Well, when we changed the name from Black Liberation Radio, we first then went to African Liberation Radio. And then we started examining the symbols and signs on the back of the dollar bill. We thought that is too broad of a term. We do not want to include ourselves in that. So Human Rights Radio. We thought by changing the name to Human Rights Radio that every time we would say this word, you would challenge people to think better of themselves. It's kind of hard to do in a system that's designed to beat you down every day, all day. It's kind of hard to think better of yourself. Kind of hard to think anything of yourself. In fact, what you would probably prefer to do is just talk about whether you think I make sense or I don't make sense. Why, as I stand up here trying to challenge you to think better of yourself. Over time, with the radio, we've learned, we've grown, been blessed to learn a lot of things, but the thing that's kept us going is that we were seeking the truth. We were seeking to find out what the real deal was. And so when it came clear that it wasn't a tenants' rights association matter, we had the strength to change the direction. When it became clear that it wasn't a voting rights matter, we were blessed with the strength to change the direction. Our get-together today is to challenge you to find the strength in you, to seek an alternative way of relating to this thing called life as opposed to the one that has been imposed upon all of us. Yeah, I know. It's kind of hard. We was talking down in the cafeteria before we come up here. Why is it that folks hold on to hope in the system? Is the elders would explain it that you would have to be able to see there to be a creator before you could actually say, let's do something different than this. Without really being able to see there as a creator, you probably think that we better hold on to this because without this, we gonna have trouble. My folks ain't never knowed nothing but trouble because of this. We're in a new time, a very new time. When we stood up here, probably out here somewhere on this campus 10 years ago and talked about the fact that we was getting ready to start up the station, I'm sure some applauded because they thought this will get rid of them. But our ability to be on 3,000, tonight will make 3,294 nights. Our ability to maintain a broadcast throughout this time is proof that our great creative spirit never lied to the elders. Because when we asked the elders, why was we allowed to go through this situation, this holocaust? They told us it was about making us a better people. I was talking to Brother Michael Townsend about this at the table this afternoon. I said, you know, Michael, if you go ask people about changing the way things are done in this country, a lot of folks ain't going to be too willing to even think about that after all they done been through already up in this country. Can you imagine what it was like before this experience, trying to convince people that there would be a need to deal with conflict? If folks don't see a need to deal with it now, after this experience, then you can bet most folks never will.